So let's stand for the reading of God's word in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Paul is speaking to the church, and he says this: "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith." See what this church was doing? Labor of love. They were serving. "And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." So, when you put the elements of faith, labor of love, serving, patience of hope, and trust with, look at how the presence of the Holy Spirit gets manifested in that church. There's power in this church. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia." See, this church was growing beyond taking care of themselves now. The word of the Lord was coming out of them into Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. "Your faith toward God has gone out." This is an amazing passage of Scripture that we do not need to say anything. You've just taken care of business. "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." So you see how Paul the apostle weaves the teaching and truth of the cross and the resurrection and the return of Jesus right into his communication. So the church continues to have strong teaching and foundation. Father, thank you for the truth. Your word is truth. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May we walk the path tonight to the revelation of what you have for us. Reveal it, light of the world, to every heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What do followers of Jesus look like? How should we look? Well, some think that to bob your hair if you're a female. Some think that if you're a male, you shouldn't wear any rings at all on your fingers, not even a wedding ring. I mean, there are all kinds of weird ideas people have about how Christians or followers of Jesus should look. Well, let's take a look at what the Scripture says about how we should look. On social media, many are proud of how many followers they have. Some have thousands of followers. But the church must ask for followers, right? We need to ask for followers. Facebook asks and seeks followers. Twitter, Instagram, they all ask for followers. Followers, followers. But the church is fearful of asking for followers. We have retreated from the culture in many ways. And why do we feel threatened or have become fearful of our proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to be asking for followers, those who choose to follow Jesus. The church has become withdrawn in this manner. And we feel like we don't dare bring the name of Jesus up because we'll suffer ridicule or rejection, or will be tabbed a fanatic. Many question their own salvation and wonder about whether do I really have a relationship with God, because I'm in fear of letting anybody know I'm walking with the Lord. God did not place us here to simply exist. We are not to cower, hold the fort, for I am coming. Don't ever sing that anywhere around me, because we're not called to hold the fort. We're here to go crash the gates of hell. They will not prevail against us. Amen? We are called to be his followers, to gather. He wants to gather to himself more followers and continue to grow in following. The church at Corinth, for instance, had a lot of issues. And when you have issues, you need someone to follow and to be teachable. And if you choose to learn on your own, it'll add years to your development. So be teachable, be a learner, because those who've walked before us have paved the way. And it's a wise choice to learn from them. The Bible commands this, and he's writing to the church at Corinth, and Paul says to them, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you." That's a powerful statement Paul is making there. Paul is speaking to the church, and the word follow in that Greek context is interpreted, imitate me, pattern yourself after my life. In 1 Thessalonians, it says in chapter 1, verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord. So God is taking all of us somewhere, and he wants us to take others with us. Yes. And if we don't believe in following and don't believe in having followers, we are going to have less than optimal impact on our culture. We must not shy away from gathering followers because we're fearful of criticism. The church over the last decade or two has withdrawn from the culture, has acted as if it's in retreat and embarrassed. The early church in the New Testament, in the early days of American culture, the church stood strong and powerful, and it was fearless and directed, listen, the entire culture. It influenced the culture as salt and light in the early days of our own culture in the United States, in the colony days. It was the pulpit that steered the ship of what happened in any given community. Pastors were fearless. Go read. You can find their messages. They're still available to be read. They were fearless. They preached long messages. They talked about the culture. They talked about candidates for office from the pulpit. They were fearless. If you weren't living right, they called you out. They were not afraid to share the truth of what God said. We must not shy away from gathering followers. We must not be fearful of criticism. We are responding, listen, more to criticism than we are to the truth. And we need to respond to the truth more than criticism. And we do that because we allow our humanity to take over and our emotions to rule, because we want to be liked and we want to be celebrated and we want to be enjoyed. There are times that's not going to happen, folks. Something has crept into the church of the living God, and we have shied away from the instruction and the commandments of Jesus Christ. Jesus has ordained that we share his good news. That's the mission of the church. Unless we're doing that, we're failing the mission. When we don't do what he asked, we're not demonstrating love for him or care for the eternal destinies of others. Do we really care that every day there are people dropping into the abyss because we never bothered to give them the message? When we follow Jesus, we're going to arrive at the right destination. Paul had such assurance of this, he was able to tell the church, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." This is not a journey across town or over to the fellowship hall for sandwiches and juice. When you choose to follow someone, they hold a piece of your destiny. And God was intentional. He couldn't trust us with choosing our own destiny. So he placed it in the hands of his Son, and in turn placed it into trusted leadership. Because Paul tells his son in the Lord, Timothy, "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? When John the Baptist was in prison, about to lose his life for the message, John's former disciples no longer followed him. They now followed Jesus. John's destiny was closing, but the destiny of his disciples was not over. When your destiny has not concluded, but you reject being a follower, you are in spiritual danger. If God's going to do more with me, listen, I don't have it all in my hands yet, what that looks like, but I must always be a learner and a follower. That's a continuum. That's unchangeable. And there are many examples of following in the Word. Followers become the greatest leaders. There are things you learn following you're never going to learn in a classroom, and you're never going to download from the internet. So we don't have time to park ourselves and go along for the ride. Paul said, "You be a follower of me as I am also a follower of Jesus." How many times in the four Gospels did Jesus say, "Follow me"? How many times? Anybody want to venture a guess? Did Jesus say, "Follow me"? Matthew 4:19, Matthew 8:22, Matthew 9:9, Matthew 16:24, Matthew 19:21, Mark 2:14, Mark 8:34, Mark 10:21, Luke 5:27, Luke 9:23, Luke 9:59, Luke 9:61, Luke 18:22, John 1:43, John 10:27, John 12:26, John 13:36, John 21:19, John 21:22. How many is that? 19. How can Jesus say, "Follow me" 19 times in the four Gospels and it doesn't have impact? Matthew the tax collector caught that when Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Mark caught it. Luke the physician caught it. He stopped his practice to follow Jesus. John caught it when Jesus said, "Follow me." All four of them caught the command, "Follow me." And they each became great leaders because they were followers. There are truths that, listen, that Jesus shared with them privately that he did not share publicly because they followed him. There are things you will hear through following you will not hear when all the miracles are taking place and everybody's jumping for joy. There were truths Jesus spoke with his followers about at that fire, things he talked to them about at the fire and when they were just sitting there enjoying life a little bit, that he never shared while feeding the 5,000. The greatest truths were not revealed to his followers when the great miracles were happening. They were revealed because they drew close to his heart and they listened to what he was saying. And while they were following him in the rigors of ministry, in the day-to-day challenges they faced, in the mundane sometimes, it was there he explained to them their journey of following. When you follow, you get the explanation. When someone says, "I don't know how you do it," you haven't followed me long enough to find out. There are personal, intimate things you learn from a leader when you follow. When you're committed to the destination, you don't dread the journey ahead. There is joy in journeying with Jesus because all along the journey, you are learning. And there's an anticipation and an expectation that with him, something good is going to happen on this journey. Things not seen with the eye, but expected from the heart. You can become depressed, and you haven't encountered any opposition. And you wonder, why am I depressed? If you're not a committed follower of Jesus, you're going to fall into that trap. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. No, there's an excitement about following Jesus and hanging around with Jesus and being with those that he's appointed to leadership. You learn in those experiences. Following is an important principle because it's a learning process. God's method of teaching and Satan's desires is to strip it out of the church. And he'll tell you, the enemy will, you're weak because you follow. That you need to be independent. Can't you think on your own? Yes, you can. Do you need someone to teach you? No, you don't. But you won't get fully where God is taking you unless you are willing to learn from those who've gone before you. Faith comes by hearing. I need someone to talk to me about what I read yesterday. I need someone to explain to me what it is I just experienced when I looked at that truth. And it didn't click. Something clicked, but I didn't get the full meaning. It expands my heart when I hear it in here, and when I hear it in an environment where I'm taught by the teachers appointed. There's something you didn't get yesterday, but you get it here because you are following. You are learning in the process. You see, God has obligated himself to leave something for you when you choose to become a follower. He's obligated to make sure you get something out of this. So I'm constantly picking up stuff from leadership, constantly exploring what it is they've got to learn, what they've got to teach, and what I've got to learn. So why is it, why do we allow social media to lead us and not always allow the leadership of the church to lead us? Why do we allow social media to lead us and not allow the leadership of the church to lead us? And that doesn't happen. Oh, yeah, it does. We've watched people's lives get twisted and turned in all kinds of directions because Christians got on social media and said things they should have never put up there and would not listen to leadership. I'm coming at you. There I am. On social media, you see what people are having for dinner. Who cares? I don't care what you have for dinner. Because they can't outcook me anyways. I do. But you do because you choose to follow. You didn't have a seat in the restaurant, but you got to view what was going on at their dinner. And you watched and followed so long that you know exactly what's happening to them. And don't tell me you haven't been on vacation with them, because you have. They show you every day all of their activities. If you're really a follower, your phone signals you when they're on. Oh, okay. And you know what I'm talking about because you're a follower. And you checked in with them before you left home. And some of you are watching them while you're here in church because you are a follower. And you are keeping track of every single thing happening with that individual or those individuals. And you speak of them as if you hang out with them. Well, you're really getting out there on a limb. It's like the modern-day soap opera addiction. It's like the modern-day soap opera addicts watching daily to see what Bo and Hope are doing. And like it's for real, you see someone else who watched that soap and you go, Bo and Hope broke up again. You get so into it. It's almost a reality in your life. How sick. How sick. Do you have a personal relationship with them? No, but you get so engulfed, you talk about it as if it's a reality. This is reality. What's in these pages of this book? Get off of Fantasy Island. They're about to land the plane again, man. What if you were such a follower, you couldn't get Calvary Christian Center off your mind? Because you were such a follower of the Lord. If you were such a follower that after you land at your destination, the person next to you knows all about Calvary Christian Center when you exit the plane ride. What if you were so excited about the Lord and what he's doing at Calvary Christian Center and in your leadership that everyone in your circle understands it, what you operate in, they know all about it because you're so excited that you're talking about it everywhere you go. When you're really a follower, it will come up in your conversation. And I'm not talking about negative complaining and gossiping that goes on among people who are Christians. I'm speaking of your personal excitement about what's happening next in your fellowship of believers. What's going on when you're praying together for one another in the lives of others whose lives are being changed and challenged and they're growing and they're overcoming and they're defeating adversaries. When you're a follower, you see things that trigger excitement and anticipation. But if you're not a follower, it doesn't even register after we've been in a service in the presence of God. There's too much power in media today for us to be quiet or playing on the other team. What if everything that happens in this body on social media, you rejoice over that? You get excited over that. You share that. That's the story. That's the message. That's what we're called to deliver. We must know how to use what God has given us, not to sit here in neutral, but to be proactive. And when you're a follower of Jesus, nothing can compare with what you've experienced in your relationship with Him. You will light up social media. You'll light up others who follow you instead of liking typical junk and sometimes questionable behaviors. You'll be liking what Jesus is doing in your lives. Your phone ought to light up with happy emojis, not frowning ones. You should light up the phones of others with happy emojis over what God's doing, right? You know how social media operates. So you must be a better follower because you are born again and you're on the journey to a destination that only God can chart for you. You'll be a better follower than the worldly follower. Your excitement level should supersede anything the world throws up there. You can't be absent when the culture is all about social media. We can't be, well, we have nothing to do with that. Folks, you can't be absent. You've got to get into the middle of it, and you've got to win this contest. Make positive statements about your journey as a follower of Jesus Christ with hearts and smiley faces and thumbs up. You're on social media. You're looking. Now use your influence for the right cause, for stuff that God's doing in the lives of one another. When you're a follower, others will know. And they will know whom you follow. It should easily be revealed in whatever you throw up on social media. It doesn't matter what others say. You're a follower. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord is doing in our lives. Why does God ask you to follow His Son? The reasons might not line up with your agenda, or even the reasonings or the logic of that, because His ways rarely line up with our agendas. But there's purpose in why God has asked you to follow His Son. Father wants to get you somewhere you would never get to if you choose not to follow Him. Maybe God has invested something in you, and His plans for you as you evaluate them and see them are greater than what you're comfortable in. And that rocks you a little bit and scares you a little bit. Maybe God wants to expose His people to the world, and you would not be exposed to that world unless you became a follower and an open, honest, transparent follower. God wants us out of our comfort zones. God wants us out of apathy because God has a plan that is bigger than the plan we have. God will call you out of retirement. Some people think that word's in the Bible, but it's not. Because they throw it around. I'm going to retire. From what? I'm going to retire? That means you're dropping out, you're quitting, you're done. With what? Not with life, I hope. Because God's still got a mission and purpose for every single person who gets up in the morning breathing air. Some of you can pray every devil out of Sutter County because you know how to pray. So you need to get up and get out of retirement and get your prayer cloth out, listen, and start shaking the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And while you're praying, pray for your pastor. Amen. Why don't you do that right now? When's the last time you prayed for me? So I'm going to do that right now. You're going to stop what you're doing right now, and you're going to pray for me. So take a moment and pray for me. Just lift your hands and pray for me right now in the Spirit. Come on, pray for me. I need prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for me. Be effectual, fervent. Come on, fervent prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray for your pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pray for wisdom. Pray for strength. Pray for anointing. Pray for spiritual discernment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can drive every devil out of this place, out of their community, out of our leadership, out of every situation, and you can release the goodness and the blessing of the Lord. Those of you who know how to pray, shake the gates of hell with your prayers. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for praying for me. I appreciate your prayers. There's something... There's something about followers. When God's about to make a shift, he'll put something on you that is a fresh anointing. And all of a sudden, you begin to know it's changing. Everything is changing. God has to give us back our strength. Because you don't stop following, God will honor your commitment, and he'll keep blessing your life even when the devil says no. God says yes. Because God will not forget about your labor in following him and pursuing him. So first of all, let me just point out a few things from the passage I read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 1. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. The church had works of faith. To keep doing your assignment in church, it takes faith. And it takes work. And it takes, I'm being inconvenienced. And people are going to, well, you know, it's just not convenient for me to do. It's never going to be convenient. Because your life is never going to have moments when it's convenient. It seems like when God taps us on the shoulder, it's always when we're the busiest. And he interrupts life. And he says, I need you to do this. And I need you to do this now. So God is going to continue to bless you when all of a sudden you begin to do what he asks you to do. The assignment takes faith, and God will stretch you. He will build your muscles. And when you have opposition, that's when you build muscle. Because everybody wants things to be easy. No, muscle must be worked to grow stronger. And when you're under pressure, that's when God is building something up in you and through you. Some resist the development that God has for us, but a little bit of pressure is not going to hurt you. It will help you. He increases the pressure just a bit so he can increase your strength. Your faith is not built when everything is perfect, and we want everything to be perfect, and we want it to be pleasant and easy. That's why we haven't grown much spiritual mass or muscle. You build spiritual muscle under pressure. We remember your works of faith. Hell was breaking loose, but you were still serving, and you were still worshiping, and you did not draw back or pull out. I don't feel like lifting my hands, but I will lift my hands anyway. I don't feel like opening my mouth and praising God with all the stuff that's happening in my life. But I'm going to lift my voice and give thanks to God because he's worthy of that in my life. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do because I have a God who's already given me a victory. So I put my faith in the victory while I'm still in the middle of a trial. Not after, anybody can do that. In the trial, I put my faith in his victory. And it's inconvenient, and it's never pleasant. Well, this is the journey we're on. It's going to be very pleasant when we stop the journey. But in the meantime, this is going to take effort, works of faith, which means I get out there and roll up my sleeves and do what God asks. Second, he said, we won't forget. We will remember your labor of love. Labor of love. Performing acts of kindness. Connection groups should be a phenomenal incubator for these kinds of acts of kindness, to develop relationships where people are continuously blessing each other, helping each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other, serving the Lord with happy hearts, doing our part. And when you do have a struggle, you know that there's a circle of people right there for you who will pray for you in that environment. You can find your answer. You can have that deliverance. You can have that breakthrough that you're asking for. It's doing our part. It's labor, yes, but out of a heart of love, because we're passionate about the Lord, and you help one another because it's a labor of love. It's not easy all the time, but it's beneficial, and you sense God's pleasure when you do what he wants us to do. It's not dollar signs on your mind. It's love in your heart. You are so in love with Jesus and in love with one another in the body, you do whatever it takes to show up and put your oars in the water and get on board and let's get the ship moving. Because when they don't see you and they just know that you don't show up, they get depressed and go, well, what's wrong with this one? Don't you want to see your brothers and sisters with a smile on their face? It's a labor of love. Well, I worked all day and my boss was a trip today, and I'm tired, but I will work my way into a labor of love for Jesus' sake, and I will be there because I'm committed to the Lord. That's what Christ followers look like. You're inconvenienced. It's labor, meaning it's not easy, but love overcomes all. Read 1 Corinthians 13. It overcomes all. We don't need to look for everything that's easy, because when we are ready to accelerate, we're going to supersede what we thought to be normal. When there has been restriction, and then God touches your commitment as being a follower, he will accelerate you faster than anything you've ever previously experienced. That's the way God works. Because he moves us forward quickly when he sees we're working hard to serve him. And you can't keep up with us when we're moving at that kind of speed because of the labor of love. And all of a sudden, you start getting traction. And all of a sudden, you're watching God exponentially grow us spiritually, numerically. And if the devil can't keep up with you, then the haters can't keep up with you either, right? And if you're going to ambush somebody, you've got to be out in front of them before they get there. But when God accelerates us because there's a labor of love, the devil can't touch us because he can't catch us. And we do it because we love, and we do it because we are one. We don't do the labor for benefit. We do the labor to see others doing better, growing, maturing, being blessed. Therein is the benefit. Then you walk in here and think, Calvary Christian Center on the weekend is happy today. Calvary is celebrating today. The people of God are full of joy today. We won't forget your labor of love. God will bless that labor. We will always remember your labor of love. You'd be surprised at what people look for when they're trying to evaluate those in the body of Christ and who they are, what they do, and where they kind of fall into the family of the Lord. And it's interesting how people have perceptions and perspectives about others in the body of Christ. And here's how you break all that stuff down and throw prejudice out and predisposed ideas. You learn together, you're growing together, you're fighting together, you're winning together. And all of a sudden, like the brotherhood of warriors that fight together on the battlefield, when you walk away from the battle you've just won together, you are bound together for a lifetime. It pulls people together when you've had to fight for victories together. But you'd be surprised at how people perceive things that aren't necessarily realities. You see, there are some people who look for those who use the mic on the platform. So they're on the stage and they hold a microphone. God looks for those who make sure the mics are working. Because it can destroy a moment when the audio goes haywire. But those you don't see, they are performing a labor of love. Michelle, Jerry, Stephen, Dale. They make sure that the people who, because of the gifting they may have and can get to stand on a platform with it in their hand, can do what they do. Because God's looking for the people behind the scenes who sweat and work and get here early to make sure what happens here looks great. There are those who are behind the scenes praying, those who are prepping for an event and making sure everything possible is being done in a way so that when the event happens, you know, people walk in and go, "Wow, that was phenomenal. That looks so easy. You have no idea." They are not often recognized, those who are doing what they're doing. Others are being celebrated, but God is looking for those who have labored in love. People who serve. It's not about spotlight. It's a labor of love, making sure things are working, making sure everything is in place, everything is ready. At NASCAR events, I think, you know, those guys that are in the pit. Because after a while, it gets boring watching cars just continue to go around the track, time after time after time after time. I mean, it does, right? And I have a relative who was doing that for a living for a long time. And, you know, it's kind of cool and all that for a while. But after a while, how many times can you watch that car go by? But watch those who jump up and change the tires and top off the tank. And they do it in milliseconds. They make stuff happen. Then after they've got that tank filled up and the tires changed, they push the car back out onto the track. They keep it going around the track to make sure that that person who gets to drive it has a fair chance of winning the race. I believe we have people ready to be in the pit, ready to serve to keep the vehicles going around the track, willing to get things ready. Those are the ones that God is looking for, and He will not forget you. He will remember and reward you for your labor of love. Heaven celebrates you for using your abilities out of love for Jesus and His kingdom. And He is satisfied with you when you serve like that. A labor of love, works of faith, not forgotten. What God wants to do in this day will never be forgotten. What He's ready to do here at Calvary is not going to be forgotten. We will make a difference. And it doesn't take faith when the doors are open and people just come to a nice campus and they come to church. That doesn't take much faith, if any. But now, for what God is about to do, it's going to take faith. And it's going to take a labor of love. And it's those strenuous moments that are remembered. And that they never seem to get attention. When nothing is really happening and no attention seems to be being paid, that doesn't get any attention. When everything is status quo, there's nothing to pay attention to. So never minimize your giftings by running to comfortable places. There is no remembrance for working in comfort. When I talked to the wife of the person who passed this week that I've known, I mentioned this morning that I've known for years, she was talking about her son, who's won all kinds of awards in music. And she told me, she said, when he's got to perform, you know, he still gets sick to his stomach. I said, yeah. I said, and after over 4 decades doing what I do, my stomach sounds like a Vitamix going on before I get to the pulpit. I said, and she goes, you still get like that? I said, I get like that every Sunday, man. But you know what? It doesn't make me back down. It just churns up my excitement level even more because everything is revving up inside of me. There is no remembrance for working in comfort. Working under strenuous circumstances and a labor for the Lord brings great reward. And third, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Patience of hope. Don't lose hope now, Calvary Christian Center. You have patience. Patience during seasons of change is a necessity. Patient waiting for the day we break ground. And some have not been patient, and they pulled the ripcord, and they couldn't handle the waiting. Patient waiting. There'll come the day when God says, go, and watch what'll happen when that day happens. Patient as we approach yet another new season. Don't lose hope now. Be patient. And this is when you hold on to hope. There are days I have to repeat to myself. She doesn't even know this. But there are days when I have to repeat to myself, spelling it out, H-O-P-E. Hope. Remember that. H-O-P-E. Hope. You've come too far to lose hope now. Is it easy? No. Is it rewarding? Absolutely. Because no one will ever be able to tell your story like you can tell your story. And those who had the opportunity and missed it will have to listen to your story and how you overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. God will never forget the overcomer. The supernatural will happen in your life. The labor of love will never be forgotten. The faith you use to work for Jesus, nobody can take that away from you. Every moment that you wondered why and how, the spirit of hope showed up. And now you know when that happens, you're going to make it through. Now you know God in ways you would have never known him prior. Because you've met God. Part of his character you've never known before. Times you felt like John. He was relegated to the Isle of Patmos for his message, the preaching of the gospel. But for some who thought, what a mess the church is in. They have sent John to an island that no one can come and go to except the Roman government itself. But he had an experience on that island. It's the last book of your Bible. And what day of the week was it when he had that experience? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. On a Sunday. Calvary, I hear him saying to you, you're about to have a revelation of who he is. And that's why we should gather on the Lord's day to have revelation of who our God is. In a set time, he says, I will visit you. And in that visit, he will transform us. A supernatural glow of his presence will surround us. Because he has chosen us to be his body, the body of Christ, members in particular, functioning well together, blessing the name of our Lord and the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and learning and growing together and seeing the church of Jesus reach people who need the gospel message. He's chosen us for that purpose. So I want everybody to stand. Come on. And join us up here, those of you that are helping us. Everybody stand. And I want to ask you to do something to show the Lord you mean business in your faith, in your labor of love, in that sense of hope that God has provided you with. Let it be demonstrated in our lives. This morning, I challenged everybody that all of us have a responsibility to serve. And it doesn't have to be something on a stage or a platform or to be seen. It could be a very small act. You might go into the nursery for an hour and help. You might assist somebody who's moving something from one room to another. But if you're offering it in the name of Jesus, it doesn't seem like much. He's not worried about his quantity. He's worried about one thing. Are you doing this unto me with your whole heart? Because if you are, I receive it as a gift from you to myself. So if you're ready, based on what I shared this morning and tonight, let's start blowing up social media with the good stuff God is doing in our lives. Instead of just going around and watching what everybody else is doing and maybe commenting on it and, you know, going, hey, good for you. Why don't we start leading the pack? We've got testimonies. We've got a message. We've got something to share that's exciting. And why don't we start getting followers to come after us as we follow the Lord? That's a biblical principle, by the way. And when we're following the Lord, we can have others who will follow us because we've got the message of hope in a world that has none. We have hope. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're ready, you signed, some of you, you put your name on something this morning, that's all good. But right now, let's kind of seal that by coming forward together and seeking the face of the Lord, saying, I'm ready to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a follower. I'm not only going to serve, I'm going to be a follower. I'm hitching myself to the Master on this journey. And I know there are going to be times when it's inconvenient, and times when it creates a hardship, and times when I've got to make some personal sacrifices to do it. Well, you're not the first. You won't be the last. And there are people that came before me that have made a whole lot more than I'll ever make. My job is to do everything God asks me to do, and to do it with all my heart. And that's why I don't want to stand next to Paul the Apostle in line on the day when they stand before Jesus. Because when Jesus evaluates what you've done for me, if you've done it under the least of these, you've done it unto me. I think of that moment when he lets that robe slide off his shoulders and turns to Jesus and says, I gladly bore in my body the marks that you carry on yours. sacrifice, labor, inconvenience. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices unto him, which is your reasonable service. Because one day those inconveniences will bring you great reward when the Master says, well done, good job, thank you. As you enter into the joys of your Lord, you see these people over here. It's because of your sacrifices. That's why I don't want to stand next to Paul, because he's going to present entire nations and say, you see this crowd from this part of Asia? You see this crowd from this part of the world? You see this part from the Greek islands? Master's going to say, it's because you were willing to take whatever necessary abuse for my kingdom's sake. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to be in the back of the line when he's there. Because I haven't even begun to do what he's done. But all of us can give the Lord what we are and who we are and what we have. So come on. Come on. Are you ready to be followers of Jesus? Are you ready to blow up social media? Are you ready to start serving? Come on to the altar. Let's commit to the leadership of the Lord.